You've heard that time is money. Well, consider this an investment on a way to building wealth that's always right on the money. We're sitting down with local experts that all have a mind for money.
Hello and welcome to A Mind for Money with Citizens Bank, a podcast all about wrapping your mind around your own financial situation. My name is Timmy and I'm your host, and I'm here today with Kelly Jensen. She works here at Citizens Bank in the mortgage department. Kelly, it's great to have you here today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Yeah, go ahead and introduce yourself and let us know a little bit about your work history.
Okay. Well, my name is Kelly Jensen. I have been working at Citizens Bank since 2001, and I have worked in various aspects of the lending area. Currently, I am a senior vice president of the consumer and mortgage department.
She's everyone's boss in the mortgage world, so she's my boss too. So it's awesome to have Kelly here. She's, like she said, she's worked in tons of different areas within the consumer mortgage department, so she'll have lots of great answers for us as we go over today's topic, which is, I want to buy a house. So Kelly, let's start right there. Let's get right into it. I call you up and I say, hey Kelly, I want to buy a house. Where do we start? What do we do?
Sure. I think the first thing that makes the most sense is to find out not only what you're qualified for, but also what you're comfortable paying. And then what we would do is we would work through those numbers and get you a pre-approval letter. The pre-approval letter is going to be what's really important, especially in the market today, because of the inventory shortage. Most of the time, you're going to need a pre-approval letter before you can even go look in, at a house. And that pre-approval letter is going to tell you what you're qualified for.
Okay. Yeah, so the pre-approval letter, it would say how expensive of a house I could buy.
Exactly.
Great. So I would bring that and to my realtor and say, all right, I'm ready to go shopping.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So, okay, so I need to get a pre-approval. What do I do? I fill out an application online, and now what? I've submitted this application to get a pre-approval. What type of documentation does the bank need, or what do you need from me for us to get this pre-approval going?
Sure. So we have a lot of valuable resources at our offices with lenders. You can either apply online, or if you're unsure of that or you're not comfortable with that, you can visit any of our branches and speak with a lender, and they will walk you through the process. Typical documents that we're going to need to get you qualified are your two most recent year tax returns, 2 years of W-2s, a recent pay stub, and then your source of down payment. So whether that be coming from a checking account, savings account, something like that, we'll need that kind of documentation to show where that down payment is coming from.
Okay. So as part of this application, I'm sure I'd have to decide how much I want to put down as a down payment. What is typically the, you know, the lowest I could do for a down payment, or and what does doing a different down payment amount change? How does that what does that affect on this application?
Yeah, what's nice about the world we live in today, you can get into a house with as little as 3% down. And the more you put down, the more you're going to be able to qualify for as well. Because the more you put down, the less of a loan amount you're going to have. And that'll make your monthly payment less. So that means you'll be able to qualify for more of a house based on the more you put down. But the bare minimum you have to put down is 3%.
Gotcha. Okay. So let's say I come to you and I have questions on my income. What does working part-time or working full-time, what does that mean for my income level? How do you look at what I make and how that affects what I qualify for?
Sure. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at your monthly income, and we look at your gross income. So not the amount of money that you take home, but your gross. So before any deductions happen, we're going to take a look at that. And then we're going to take a look at any of the debts that you may have. And we're going to calculate what we call a DTI, a debt to income ratio. And that debt to income ratio is going to tell us what you qualify for. So if you work part time, that's okay. You just might not be able to get as big of a house. And there's various things that we're going to look at as far as debts on your credit report. Things on a credit report such as any kind of house, car payments, any type of credit cards you may have. Not necessarily things such as cell phone bills, car insurance. That doesn't show up. So it's really items that show up on your credit report such as your debts, like a car loan, credit cards, that type of stuff.
Okay, gotcha. So that gets calculated with my income that I make to figure out that debt to income ratio. So then, like you said, you would pull a credit report. What does a credit report do? What does that show, and how does that impact my application?
Sure. So a credit report is going to list your credit history that you've had. So any history that you've had, it's going to show up on there, even if it's closed and at a zero balance or paid off. It's going to show up on there. All of your credit history is going to remain with you for your life. So the more positive credit, of course, that you have, meaning you're making your payments on time and that sort of thing, the higher your credit score is going to be. So there's three credit reporting agencies, TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax. All three of them have their own way of calculating a credit score, which is kind of a black box that nobody knows about. However, there are things that we do know that we can do to improve credit or how the credit is calculated.
Gotcha. So what kind of credit scores are you looking for when you get a loan application? What's considered good, and I guess what's considered good enough?
Yeah. So typically anything 660 or higher is good. We can get you qualified at that. Anything lower than that doesn't mean we can't get you qualified. It's just maybe there's got to be a few extra steps that we have to do or a little bit more documentation we need.
Gotcha. Okay. And so I get you all the documentation, you pull the credit report, you've done the calculations and the underwriting, which is a process where someone within the bank looks at all of the income documentation and everything involved with the application to make a decision on if you would qualify for not. And you create a letter that says how much I can shop for. What would be the next step then, now that I have this pre-approval? I assume I can go shopping and put in an offer, but what happens next if I put in an offer and I get that accepted offer?
Yeah, so after you've got that pre-approval letter, you'll really want to work with a realtor to find houses that, you know, are in your price range or, you know, that interest you. The realtors will show you various houses. When you find one you are interested in, you'll be able to put in an offer and turn in that pre-approval letter with it so that the sellers know you're qualified to purchase that house.
Mm-hmm. Great. And then I get that signed offer. You know, they accepted it. What do I do next with it?
Yeah. Once you have that signed offer, it's important that you get back with your lender right away, because it can be a longer process to, you know, go from offer to purchase, accepted offer to purchase to closing. So the sooner you can let your lender know, the better, because we can get things rolling on our end. So the lender is going to need a copy of that offer to purchase, and then they will get everything moving from their end, things such as appraisals, title work, all that stuff, just to work you through the process until you get to the point of closing.
Yeah. So like you mentioned, there are some things that the bank orders or works on. What types of things does the bank or the lender work on kind of behind the scenes for the buyer? So, and that takes some time. So what are those things that make it important for the buyer to get that offer to the bank quickly?
So typically you're going to, when you write in an offer, you're going to write in typically an appraisal contingency and an inspection contingency. Those are the two most common. The inspection contingency is really going to be something that you will do. Your realtor will have some contacts you can reach out to. We have contacts you can reach out to for inspectors. But what they'll do is they'll go through the house and let you know if there's any issues with the house, whether that be issues that you might want to resolve or whether that be issues the bank needs to have resolved. Some things have to be resolved beforehand, things such as, you know, a roof is old and out of date, no longer is useful, it's no longer its useful life. Something like that might need to be repaired prior to closing. Then the appraisal is the other item, which is going to tell you what your house is worth. What the appraiser does is he goes and looks at your house, and then he looks at various houses that have sold that are similar. So they're really looking for comparables, houses that are going to be similar to yours, and that's how they come up with the value, which is typically in a purchase situation, it's typically close to your purchase price, because what you're willing to pay for a house is typically the value of the house.
That makes sense. So you said that so the buyer and the realtor, though, that party is responsible for getting the inspection taken care of, but the bank is responsible for ordering the appraisal and getting that taken care of.
Correct.
So are both of those things required to get the loan?
So not in all situations. The inspection isn't necessarily required. It's typically something that you'll want, but it's not a requirement. And in the market we're in today, sometimes that's one of those items that you're willing to waive. To make your offer look more attractive.
Gotcha.
And in some situations, an appraisal is waived as well, but we wouldn't know that until we get through the full underwriting of the property.
Gotcha.
So once you have the property picked out, we would run it through and see if an appraisal is required at that time.
Gotcha. So from the bank's perspective, an inspection is typically not always required, but the appraisal may more commonly be required.
Correct.
For the bank to complete its loan and its underwriting. Okay, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. So then what else is needed at this point? What do I need to work on as the buyer to make sure I have everything lined up so that we mm-hmm. can keep going forward and I can buy the house?
Sure. The other thing that the borrower has to worry about is homeowner's insurance. If you have a loan against a house, you are required to have homeowner's insurance, and that's to protect both yourself and the bank. Should something happen with the house, fire or something like that, your homeowner's insurance will kick in. We do have a company here within Citizens Bank that can certainly offer that, and you know, we can certainly get you quotes for that to see if that's something you would like us to offer for you as well.
Yeah, very nice. And so homeowner's insurance, you know, seems like a good idea anyways, but as Kelly mentioned, it is required for the home. So I've got that. I've got the homeowner's insurance. I've got that to my lender. When do I know what my interest rate is? When do we figure that out? Because obviously mm-hmm. on my pre-approval, everything was calculated using whatever the rates were at that time.
Sure.
When do I know for sure what my interest rate's going to be?
So typically we require you to rate lock in. So our rates are posted daily. We do post them on our websites, or you can reach out to a lender to find out what they are. But you do have to get locked in with that interest rate in order to secure that rate for your loan.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, in order to rate lock in, we want to make sure we're far enough along in the process that you're doing this mm-hmm. and you're going to do the loan. So we like to wait until we know the inspection is over with, so we know that there's no issues there. That's usually the one thing where it's going to uncover some issues that might make mm-hmm. yourself back out or us back out because of the property. So anytime after that, we can really get you rate locked in. And that's easy. It's just a form that you sign, and then we get you locked in at that rate.
Okay, great. So I've got my rate lock in. I've got the inspection done, appraisal. I've gotten you the homeowner's insurance. What do I expect now? Are we ready to move to closing?
Yeah, so we're just waiting. Once we've got everything back, that appraisal, like I said, is kind of the thing that takes the most amount of time to come back, usually about 2 to 3 weeks, depending on volume. Once we have that back, we're really ready to go to closing. We just have to wait for the title company and the closing date to get to us. And that closing date is the date that you picked out when you filled out that offer to purchase.
Yeah, because on the offer to purchase, there's a line to fill in the closing date, correct?
Correct. Yeah. That can be negotiable from our end. And if something, a different date works out well for you and the seller, that's fine with us as long as we've got everything back.
Great. Let's talk about, the process start to finish. So just kind of summarize everything. You start, you contact your bank, you let them know you want to purchase a house. You start an application with them, whether in person or online. They'll let you know the type of documentation you need. Typically, it's going to be W-2s, federal tax returns, pay stubs. Start working on finding some homeowner's insurance. Mm-hmm. You can do that early if you want to start getting
Absolutely.
Some quotes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get your pre-approval letter. And then with the pre-approval letter, you can go and start shopping. Then when you have the home, you can put in the offer. It gets accepted. You make sure you give that accepted offer to the bank right away so they can start ordering their appraisal. You can order your inspection if you had that in your offer to purchase. Then you can go ahead and if everything's good and you got the inspection, everything looks good, you can go ahead with your insurance agent that you hopefully have already started working with to get your insurance all paid for. And then you can lock in your rate and get ready to move towards the closing. It sounds like a long process, and it is a long process, I guess, but it's a big purchase. So
especially when you're excited to get in your house, mm-hmm. but like you said, it's a big purchase, and you want to make sure that you got the right one and you're ready to do it. So.
Yeah, and there's a lot of parties involved, which can help. It can make things more complicated, but can help because there's a lot of people to answer questions then too. Let's talk about some corner cases here. Say I'm retired. Am I still eligible to apply to purchase a home?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. We can look at different sources of income for retired people, whether that be Social Security income or pension, 401k, whatever that may be. There's even some situations where we can take a look at your assets that you may have, and we can take a look at using that as income. So there are lots of options, even if you aren't in the formal employment stage.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And so I guess in a similar vein of non-traditional income, what if I was self-employed and, you know, all of my income came from a business that I operated? Mm-hmm. How does that affect my application?
Yeah, certainly. So we also can look at self-employed income. Self-employed income is a little trickier. Obviously, a lot of times self-employed people want to minimize that amount of taxable income, which is completely understandable. However, that then affects what you can qualify for. So you just have to be aware when you're self-employed, if you're going to be purchasing a home, just be aware of when that's going to happen so that you can file your taxes accordingly.
Yeah. So if I was self-employed and I was expensing almost everything I can so that my gross income on my tax return ends up being a lot less, mm-hmm. That's what the bank ends up being able to use to qualify for you more for your mortgage, correct?
Correct. Yeah. So depending on how you pay yourself, that is really going to be what we can use as your income. And if it's a Schedule C through your personal return, we do look at that bottom line, which is your sales minus your expenses.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's say I already own a home, but I want to upgrade or even just change locations or whatever. What does that look like? Am I mm-hmm. able to put an offer on another home if I haven't yet sold my current home?
Sure. So even when you have an existing home, it's still important to go through that pre-approval process because your lender will let you know what you're able to qualify for. But not only that, they'll let you know if you're able to tap into your existing equity and if you can afford to have two houses, at least until that other house sells.
Gotcha.
The convenience, of course, is very nice because then you don't need to worry about, you know, finding a place to live when your house is sold and before you can get in the new one. But yeah, you can certainly tap into that equity.
Gotcha. That's good to know. So, let's just go over some of the do's and don'ts that we talked about here today. The first big do is get a pre-approval. That's kind of the first thing we talked about, and we talked about it quite a bit. And I'm sure you've heard people talking about pre-approvals before. It's because they're helpful. And like Kelly said, nowadays they're necessary because of how competitive the housing market is. The pre-approval shows your realtor and the seller that you have already done the legwork to prove that you are a qualified buyer for this home. And I would say along with that, don't put in offers on houses that you can't afford or haven't been pre-approved for, because it is frustrating to get your heart set on a place and then put in an offer and then go to the bank and tell them, I've got an offer in on this place, but you haven't been pre-approved. And you find out you can't afford it and you got to rescind your offer because the financing didn't go through. I would say do know your credit situation. As we mentioned, the credit score is a big part of the underwriting, one of the big pillars of the underwriting decision. And in part with that, don't skip your payments on your bills if you can help it. If you have things that are outstanding, like collections or judgments, clear those up if you're able to as soon as you can. The longer they sit out there, the more it's going to affect your credit score. I would say do get a home inspection if you can afford it or if they'll accept the offer with the home inspection, because even though the bank may not always require it, it will help you not only get a peace of mind, but maybe find out if there's some underlying issues with the home that you may not have otherwise found. And I would say also do ask your realtor or your lender questions. Don't feel like you're bothering them. It's their job. That's my job here at the bank as a mortgage lender. And I'm always happy when people have questions rather than just assuming how things go, because how often do you buy a house? I don't expect my customers to know everything about the house buying process, and I'm sure the realtors don't expect you to know everything about the house buying process too. So feel free to ask questions. Even if you're not ready to buy a home yet, you can always reach out to a lender to make sure that you're kind of on the right path so that
Absolutely.
You can get yourself in the right position when you want to buy a home. And that kind of leads into my first closing thought. Mm-hmm. Think ahead, even if you're a few mm-hmm. years out. Like Kelly, like you said, if you are self-employed and you haven't been showing much income and you think in a couple of years you want to buy a house, maybe you think about how you're filing your tax returns. And so you can get yourself in the right position credit-wise, employment-wise, income-wise, savings account-wise to make sure you have enough of a down payment. And even if you've bought things before, bought houses before, I know both Kelly and I have talked to plenty of people who haven't bought a home in over 10 years, and it's a completely different world now buying a house.
Yep.
And it's a whole new ball game. There's a lot of steps involved now, and a lot of the stuff that is there to protect the buyers. It's a
Absolutely.
Lot of new, mm-hmm. a lot of new consumer protection policies. But it does make it a little more involved. So making sure you're ahead of the game is always way easier than playing catch up. So, with that, do you have any other closing thoughts or anything that we had mentioned that you maybe wanted to touch additionally on?
Just, enjoy the process. Rely on your lender. They're here for you. Like Timmy said, they're here to help you, and that's their job. Any questions you have, no question is a dumb question.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be afraid to give them a call and have them help you every step of the way.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said before, as a lender, I'm more than happy to answer questions. I like to know that my customer feels comfortable, that they know what's going on, and that is a comfortable place to be as the customer, is that you know what's going on. And with that, Kelly, I thank you for coming in here with me today and talking shop about mortgages. It's obviously, like I said, what I do too. So it's something that we're both pretty familiar with, and we enjoy doing, is helping customers get the home that they want to buy. And that's the best part of the process, is when it's all done and, the customer has got the home that they wanted. And
turn over those keys.
Exactly. Get a hand over the keys. And with that, that's all we have to talk about today. And please let us know if you have any feedback. We'd love to hear comments, other questions. If there's anything you want clarification on that we maybe just touched on that maybe we could talk about it in a future episode, or even just reply with some feedback through an email, please feel free to email me at heytimmy@amindformoney.com. That's heytimmy@amindformoney.com. And like I said, if you have recommendations for different podcast topics, questions about finances that you may have that we could talk about, or get an expert specifically to come in and talk to me about, that we could ask those questions for you, we would love to hear that. And with that, I thank you again, Kelly, for coming in, and we hope that you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.